saving money on prescription drugs, lower costs for insulin and vaccines, better mental health, and COVID-19 care are among the new changes to Medicare for 2024. Great! Then there's the always pesky period to make Medicare changes, enrollment if you're new to it, and when to get it all done. Yeah. This is the key driver for the presentation series, Medicare Mondays, being conducted by the Colorado Gerontological Society. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. The enrollment changes window for 2024 is open now until December 7th, so it is time to get to it. Medicare Mondays from Senior Answers will help you make the Medicare decisions that are right for you. On this edition, we grab additional insights to this Medicare Monday's assistance and info on the ballot amendment HH also affecting older adults. With us is Colorado Gerontological Society Executive Director, Ms. Eileen Doherty.
Anybody who buys a Medicare supplement needs to buy a Part D or a prescription drug plan. And those range from a zero premium in 2024 on at least one plan up to about $120 per month, depending on the plan, that Part D plan that you choose. And there's about eight companies that will be selling Part D plans in Colorado. And they all have from one plan to three or four plans. So there's quite a bit of choice, if you will, about choosing a Part D plan that meets, again, your needs and covers the prescriptions you're taking. Things to watch out for when you're selecting a Part D plan, in addition to price, is a Part D has a deductible, and the standard deductible for 2024 will be $545.
Yeah.
And then depending on the company you select and your medications, begins to look at what are the copays for your Part D. What we're seeing at this point is a lot of the Part D plans have very low copays for the drugs that are on Tier 1 and 2. But then when you get to the Tier 3 and 4 and sometimes 5, you're paying a percentage of the cost of the drug. So like WellCare is going to be charging, if you have a drug that's on Tier 3, it'll be 35% to the cost of the drug. So that's going to drive some of the drugs that people take higher than what they're used to paying in terms of the copay.
So is it a good idea then, before you even approach the Medicare booklet for enrollment, to have a to make a list on a tablet or something of what your medical care needs are, especially if you're doing prescription drugs or something like that, so you can match them up effectively with the options that are offered in the Medicare guide?
And you want to basically, you want to do that price comparison at the plan finder at medicare.gov.
And that's also why you're going to have these Medicare Mondays around the state.
Yes, but maybe we should talk a little bit about the Medicare Advantage as well.
Oh, I was going there.
Okay.
With Medicare Advantage, isn't there a distinction, because aren't some of the companies that are marketing Medicare Advantage marketing it as if it's a direct part of Medicare, but what we're really talking about is private insurance.
Yes, the way Medicare Advantage works, which is also the fourth part of Medicare, or Part C, is that private insurance companies contract with Medicare to provide all of your health care.
Yeah.
So most of them contract with doctors and hospitals and specialists and nursing homes and labs and x-rays to create a network in which you basically go to those providers to get your care. Mm-hmm. They also then, as part of that contract with Medicare, are the entity that pays these providers in their network when you go for care.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who then tell the providers how much to collect for your copay or your coinsurance. So, for example, if you went to the hospital and you had a Medicare Advantage plan,
yeah,
instead of paying the $632 deductible, which can be covered by your Medicare supplement if you have one, you would pay out of pocket the Part A deductible that mm-hmm. the health insurance company has negotiated with Medicare.
Yeah.
And they're looking to be around $350 a day. Whoa. At this point in time for the first 5 days that you're in the hospital. Similarly, in the Medicare Advantage plans, if you are going, say, to the doctor, or you have labs, or you have outpatient procedures, or uh-huh. you have an MRI or any of those, most of the companies appear to be charging that 20% copay that Medicare does not reimburse them for. So when they negotiate with Medicare, they get like 80%, the same 80% that the rest of us, that you get if you're in a Medicare supplement.
Yeah.
But then you end up having to pay that Medicare or that 20% out of your own pocket. There's no insurance for that. The trade-off that many of the Medicare Advantage plans offer is that they will give you things like dental coverage, or they'll give you, you know, like a new pair of glasses every 2 years, or they'll give you new hearing aids every 5 years. Some of them have a transportation benefit. Some of them have what they call a catalog, where you can get like credits, like at Walgreens or a place like that, mm-hmm. for things like Depends, over-the-counter medication,
yeah.
That type of thing. They're also, sometimes they'll offer like a meal plan where they'll provide meals for a week or two after you get out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some pretty nice add-on benefits, if you will, but which, you know, have a lot of cash value. But what the sort of thing that people need to be prepared for if they do a Medicare Advantage plan is that they will pretty much have that 20% copay for all of their Part B related services will be out of pocket.
Ah, so by writing things down and you know where your health care stands, it gives you an idea about where to go with it. And in case you need any of the supplemental services or supplemental care, you can factor those in and pretty much come up with an idea of what that's going to cost you.
You can at least start to get some broad parameters, and mm-hmm. you know, and the most important thing is figuring out what you can afford out of pocket. So on a Medicare supplement, you're going to pay a monthly premium. And that monthly premium, if you're just turning 65, is probably in the $135 to $165 range, usually goes up in five-year increments. Now, they can do rate changes as well, but you have to be able to pay that every month.
All right. I got another thing I need to ask you about, too, in that regards. A thing another, a number of older adults are probably still trying to focus on, and that's because they're aging in place, Proposition HH that we've got a vote on coming up here in November. What's the good thing about Proposition HH, and why should they maybe say, I don't like that?
Well, so HH is designed to reduce both your personal property taxes, the rate, as well as commercial rates. But they're relatively minor reductions.
Yeah.
What it really allows the state to do is to continue or to retain, if you will, most of the excess sales tax revenue that is collected by the state from those of us who buy beer and whiskey and groceries and toilet paper and whatever else it is we buy.
Yeah.
So it allows the state to keep any amount of money for 10 years over the amount of money that is collected. Because currently with Tabor, there's a certain cap. And if the state, when the state revenues, the tax revenues come in at that point, anything over that goes back to the taxpayers in the Tabor refunds.
That's what we just had this spring then, those Tabor refunds. Okay.
The third probably benefit in the HH is that it does make the senior homestead exemption portable, meaning that if you move, if you downsize, you have the ability to, you don't have to wait 10 years before you can continue to claim that. On the flip side, what the opponents argue, and their number one argument is that you will no longer get a Tabor refund. So the Tabor refunds basically will be kept by the state. So if you like the $750 you got last fall, year ago, and the $153 plus or minus, depending on your income, that you got in the spring, those probably will not be available more than a year or two. The other thing that the opponents argue is that the reduction in the both property taxes for homeowners as well as for commercial owners of property is relatively small, so they don't see that as a big gain. And then their third argument, if you will, is basically that it will inflate government because government will be allowed, the state will be allowed to keep about $4 billion worth of revenue and to fund state services. So you'll see that level of growth, if you will, in state government.
Boom.
And another thing that the opponents argue is that renters will not benefit from the homestead exemption, and they won't benefit because they will no longer get the Tabor refund.
Our many thanks to Ms. Eileen Doherty, Executive Director of the Colorado Gerontological Society, presenters of Medicare Mondays to assist you with your enrollment or changes to Medicare. Learn where around the state presentations are being conducted online at senioranswers.com or by calling 303-333-3482. That's 303-333-3482. In Espanol at 355-880-4777. In Espanol at 355-880-4777. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.